Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party and a friend. Welcome back, Ed.
Always good to be back and to be with you, Alan.
So, Ed Cox, let me start with something that's personal, and I apologize for doing this to you, but, you know, you are Dick Nixon's son-in-law, and CNN has decided to do him in again. Do you ever think that enough is enough? You know, leave the guy alone?
Oh, I'm not even aware of that. There's a lot of stuff like that going around. But his record stands for itself, whether it's what he did in foreign affairs, which is one of the greatest strategists. People still talk about how he understood the world and all its pieces and how they worked. And that's something we certainly need in these days. And what he did desegregating the South, the schools in the South, the OSHA, EPA.
He literally invented the EPA, right? I mean,
yeah. No, look, he had a tremendous record. And, of course, they ran him out of town as they're trying to run this president out of town. It's just President Nixon was the only president who was elected in modern political times without having one house of the legislature on his side. And the Democrats and someone at the start as an inauguration were telling friends of mine, we're going to impeach him. And they did.
Yeah, well, he had to help him a little. I don't want to replay it all with you, but, you know, Watergate was Watergate.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, in the end, it's they ignored the substance and went after the little stuff and ran him out of town.
Okay, well, we could argue that for the next half hour. So let's maintain our friendship and move on. Salt. Governor Cuomo was blaming Trump for punishing New York and forcing a mass exodus to other states. So is Trump at fault here?
Just like, you know, Cuomo's at fault. Just like he's pointing to other people running Amazon out of town when it's actually the way he did it that ran Amazon out of town. He's great at taking credit for what others do and very good at putting blame on the bad things that he does. It's not salt. The original problem was the extension of the surcharge. An extension of the surcharge, as long as everyone was quiet about it.
Well, remind everybody what the surcharge was.
3% tax on wealthy individuals. 3% percentage points increase that was done by, I believe it was Governor Patterson, because of the Great Recession, and that put a hole in the budget. So wealthy people had to pay up to correct that hole. But hey, Governor Cuomo, guess what? The Great Recession's over, and yet you've extended it multiple times. And by the way, during your 2000 campaign, Governor Cuomo, you said an extension of the surcharge would be a tax increase. You increased taxes by 3% on the wealthy. Now, no one really made a big political point of it because so can the rich. It's sort of popular. But the fact is now you're saying the rich are being run out of town because of the cap on salt deductions, which only impacts really 1% of the population here when you take a look at it. It's a wealthy percentage, but you already hit those people with 3%. You want to keep them here? Get rid of the surcharge like you said you were going to do in your 2010 campaign. Complete hypocrite.
But doesn't he have a point about the salt, Ed? Because he did punish Massachusetts and New York.
Alan, he's putting a 3% tax on the wealthy, and that's what's running him out of town. You get rid of that, it's going to go a long way to having them stay here.
So assuming that Massachusetts and New York and California, Ed, are really being hit hard, the blue states, which didn't vote for him, which he claims, by the way, is get evenness, which is why he's doing the salt deduction.
This is Cuomo yakking, trying to hide the fact that he's one of the biggest taxers in this country. As he said in 2010, New York has no future as the tax capital of the nation. And guess what? We're still the tax capital of the nation. And this is 9 years later, and he's been governor this whole time. What's he done about it? What's he doing about it here? He's only increasing taxes in the present budget, one way or the other. whether it's a tax on marijuana, whether it's congestion pricing tax. He tries to disguise his taxes as sin taxes, but in the end, he's increasing taxes. Even when, and this gets into the weeds, but he works very well in the weeds. Even when he said he cut just a smidgen the rate of taxes on middle-class New Yorkers, and he boasts about that. At the same time, by the admission of his budget director, during a question period at the Citizens Budget Commission, he removed the indexization of tax brackets. Now, it's getting in the weeds, but what it means is that taxes on middle income with inflation, on middle income New Yorkers, is going to go up as they're pushed into higher and higher brackets. So even that is a sham. I mean, he is not a tax cutter. He's one of the biggest taxers of all time in New York State.
So you mentioned the Amazon deal, which is funny because you said he's the one who blew it. Basically, I think public opinion is coming down that the legislature blew it.
The legislature blew it. AOC blew it. Gennaris blew it. But guess what? because he wants to take all credit to himself. You have to admit, he is one of the least transparent governors ever. He likes to work in secret. So he worked in secret with this. He developed the deal in secret. He blames it on a secrecy agreement that Amazon insisted on. But if he'd wanted to, he could have said, look, we've got to work this around. In Queens, I'm a Queens guy. I know how it works in Queens. This Gennaris guy, this is actually his district. And by the way, he's the deputy majority leader. We got to pay attention to him. Let's give him some credit for it. No. Cuomo wanted all credit for himself. He wanted to be known as Amazon Cuomo. I brought 25,000 jobs to New York, blah, blah, blah. He cuts in de Blasio at the end just a little bit because it's New York City, and he announces it. Well, what does he think Gennaris is going to do? What does he think that Speaker Johnson's going to do? Of course, they didn't get anything out of it. So they said, hey, we got to get our piece of this, so we're going to get in there and criticize it in order to shut us up. Then we get cut in on some of the credit for in the end. He made a huge mistake. In Virginia, they didn't make this mistake. It was a deal that was discussed with everyone, with the local people, before it was agreed upon. And everyone would have seen that the $3 billion was actually tax relief against $27 billion of additional revenue for the state. And that point was never made. And so people like AOC and Jenner say, oh, this is $3 billion that we can use for other things. Wouldn't it be wonderful what we could do with it? We could fix the MTA. We could fix... No. No. Pure, on his part, the fact that Governor Cuomo developed it in secrecy so he could get all the credit for it and be called Amazon Cuomo, as he wanted to be called. And it crashed and burned because he didn't handle the politics of it properly.
So do you think there's an analogy?
He should have known better. He's from Queens.
Do you think there's an analogy between what happened when he claimed credit on the Second Avenue subway and then said he didn't want the onus of the subways collapsing?
Sure. He knows he can get away with cutting capital budgets. And so he let the MTA capital budget go to hell. And by the way, guess what? And I know this well because I was the chairman of the State University Construction Fund. I just learned this. He's cut the State University of New York's capital budget to the bone. $250 million, that's all this year. 10 years ago, it was a little more, 13 years ago, when we developed a plan to get the State University of New York up to good repair. This was put aside the inflation over this period of time.
Yeah, I remember.
We said it would take about $330 million a year just to keep it in a state of disrepair that it was. In order to get up to a state of repair, good repair, in about 9 years, you'd have to invest $550 million, increased by inflation each year, in order to get the State University up to good repair. He's only putting $250 million in that budget. Next MTA is going to be the State University of New York. But no one's going to care about it the way they care about the MTA. And he knows that. So he's shortchanging the capital budget, tremendously shortchanging the capital budget of the State University of New York.
Is that because the State University is an upstate institution as opposed to CUNY, for example?
No, it's because it won't be a political football. I don't think the chancellor or finance chair, Carl McCall, they're not going to take on a Democratic governor on this. But they know full well that this capital budget is actually decreasing. The state university is not in good repair. It's depreciating rapidly because under it was most of it was built under Governor Rockefeller in the late 50s, early 60s. You put it now about 50 years later, it really starts to decline geometrically, and it's the capital plan of the state university with such 100 million square feet of space is in trouble.
What about CUNY? Yeah. What about CUNY? I heard a story. You know, I have an axe to grind here because Hunter College was my alumni institution.
Sure.
And apparently they have had a hole in the ground ready to go, but Cuomo hasn't given them the funds to do the
same
building.
Look, I don't know. I'm no expert on the. I do know the SUNY capital budget because we worked on it for almost 10 years to get it right and to make sure it was a rolling bonding. Every 5 years, be another replenished on the fifth year and getting it up to good repair and what was needed. And we got experts to come in and study it. And we convinced the first floor of the Budget Bureau. We convinced the legislative staff this is what we had to do. We got the $550 million of budget passed. So, and I was amazed to learn this year it was only $250 million that was going into it.
Okay.
But with CUNY, CUNY tracks what SUNY does. So I suspect the same thing's happening to CUNY as is happening. And that's why you see the hole in the ground. I mean, the students, who's going to speak up for the students?
Speaking of students, Ed Cox, big debate about people using unfair amounts of money to get their kids into prestigious institutions and basically breaking the law. What do you make of that?
Terrible. That's what happens when credentialing just becomes so important. I mean, to me, when I became a trustee of the State University of New York, everyone else, all the other trustees, they like to do the university centers college. I said, give me the community colleges because that's where the real work is done. That's where one half the students of the state university are. And that's where those are the lifeboats for the people who become unemployed. They go there to get trained. We have to beef up the community colleges, and especially when technology is and foreign competition with cheaper wages are displacing our workers and putting them out of work. They need to get retrained, and the community college system, a unique American democratic institution that is admired around the world, we need to support it, and it basically gets undercut because of the prestige of the universities. Well, the same thing goes. The prestige of the universities need to be credentialed. But you can be credentialed and still not be competent to do a job. And that's the issue. Our community colleges do a great job of making sure they don't give you a credential in a sense, except saying you are competent to do this job. And that is the kind of schooling that is needed for the large number of American workers.
By the way, I hate to do this and I hesitate to do this, but I agree with you. Let's go to the midterm elections. The Republicans didn't do well in New York. I think it's all because of Trump. I think people were very angry.
Well, here's what it was. Take a look at New York City.
Yeah.
New York City, 4 years ago, there were 1 million voters out of 5 million registered showed up. Because there's nothing to really vote for. They are sure Cuomo's going to win. They're Democratic. So put Staten Island aside. All their candidates were going to win, so they went to work rather than vote. That's New York City. 4 years later, guess how many showed up in New York City to vote, Alan?
I'm not even going to guess. Go ahead, tell me.
Go ahead. Come on.
Okay. Ah, come on.
2.2 million.
So double.
More than double. And guess what it is in a presidential year on the average? 2.5 million.
So that was a big election.
The voters of New York City, who are mostly Democrats, turned out to relitigate the 2016 campaign. And that's what they did. They were lined up around the block, and they just wanted to relitigate the huge shock of
Let's be fair about this. They hate the president. I mean, you know, he is really the boogeyman for them. And they turned out. And if in a presidential election in 2020, it's going to be even worse, isn't it?
Well, they're going to get a surprise when they see who they voted for down ballot and say, I didn't mean to vote for that guy. What's he doing?
And they don't even know what down ballot is, Ed.
No, They don't, but they do know who they voted for, and they'll say, why did I vote for that person? Look, the other half of this was that Donald Trump was not at the top of the ticket, so his voters, they showed up a little bit more because of Kavanaugh and things like that, but they didn't show up in the same numbers that the people, the Democrats, want to relitigate the 2016 campaign and the big shock of that, the way they turned up. Now,
well, you lost the state.
I have to say this. The Republicans did show up a little bit more. So Mark Molinaro, our candidate, actually got more votes than Andrew Cuomo got in winning 4 years ago.
Yeah, but he got schlunged.
Well, that's because of the huge turnout.
Well, I'm so sorry. That's how elections work.
It had nothing to do with our candidate. And in fact, Cuomo admitted it in an interview with Jimmy Vilkind that it was a competitive campaign, and that's why in the end of October, the Santa poll hit the lowest favorability he has ever been, about 45%. And since then, it has sunk to even lower. We're on a likely basis poll. It's probably in the 30s now, his favorite.
Yeah, yeah, okay, but listen, we're running out of time here.
Cuomo knows he's in trouble, and he's trying to get out of town. He's running for president.
You think so?
Sure, absolutely. He's been running ever since his father didn't run. He wants to be president of the United States, and he's very clever how he's doing it, Alan. He's placing himself right behind Joe Biden,
right,
and he knows Joe Biden is not going to make it through the progressive sieves that votes in the primaries and that will predominate at the convention. So he's positioning himself perfectly, and when Biden gets out, he takes that center-left Clintonian lane, and he can take care of the left, even though they don't trust him. He'll say, I checked all your boxes. I did gun control. I did gay marriage.
Well, he did.
I did free tuition. I did. Oh, yeah. No, that's the way he beat Cynthia Nixon. And he'll check. He said, I checked all your boxes, but yet I can win.
Okay, so wait.
He is running and running hard by not running.
I agree with you about that, too. Boy, this is not going well here.
Oh, come on, Alan. It's going very well because you know this history. You know it well. You understand it.
Okay, so now, you know, you got colleagues, you know, anybody who's ever a leader knows that there's always somebody nipping at their heels. Some people want you out of there, and they say, well, you lost the suburbs, you lost the Senate, you should get out. You answer to them, and you say?
I call them all, and I've got the support I need to remain as chairman, and it's now a question of uniting the party. And we need to be united, and we are doing something that's never been done before. We are combining completely with the Senate and the Assembly, moving into our headquarters at State Street in Albany. We're going to be sharing our data. We're going to be doing common messaging. We're doing a common low-dollar fundraising. And we've already started this. Our staff working with their staff in order to get back the Senate seats that we need. And this is all about redistricting.
Can you?
This is all about redistricting. Yes, we can. It's all about redistricting in 2021, so we don't become a one-party state.
But assuming
like Illinois or California that are going down the tubes, particularly Illinois, because they are a one-party state, with the Democrats having two-thirds of both houses, and you elect a Republican governor like Rauner, and he can't get anything done.
Assuming, however, Ed Cox, that it doesn't go well in 2021 in terms of the redistricting, or that you don't take the Senate back, do you think the fact that open warfare has opened up between the Senate, the Assembly, and Cuomo is a good sign for the Republicans?
You know, what's happening here is, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. The Democrats have absolute power. Now, they had it back in 2009, 2010. Guess what? That erupted in terrible corruption. That was petty stuff, but it was still corruption. This is corruption of another level. They say that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme, and it's rhyming in the sense that the way they're falling out, the Democrats going at each other now, and who can do the sneakiest, highest taxes? There's no talk about reforming the budget, about budget control, about fiscal reform. It's all about their constituencies that would like to tax and already have taxed New York into a terrible situation. We're the highest tax state in the nation. And that's why people are leaving New York in droves.
Okay, now that's a point you've already made, and I want to move on because I only got 4 minutes. So let me ask you this. Tish James is investigating the president. She is the attorney general, the new attorney general. She's trying to get them to the legislature to change the laws so that double jeopardy doesn't apply on some of the people that have been targeted in this investigation. What do you make of that?
You know, because of the debate, our excellent candidate, we had a great candidate in Keith Wolford, really put her on the spot. And she lied there in the debate. And so New York One did an investigation and basically concluded, the reporters concluded, she was an inveterate liar. She is all political.
Well, you should know about that because your president is an inveterate liar. But go ahead.
No, hold it, Alan. We're talking about the Attorney General of the state of New York. And the Attorney General, for an Attorney General to be an inveterate liar when you want someone of integrity who is not playing who is not playing politics with the job. Well, guess what? Ever since Spitzer, they've been playing politics with the job of Attorney General so they could rise to a higher office. And she is the epitome of that and what she's doing. So everything she does is politics. It is not. And she is simply looking to go to a higher position from where she is, and also to help Andrew Cuomo. She is a creation of Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo picked her because he knows that she is pliable and he can control her. And she is doing exactly what she needs to do to help him become president of the United States.
Okay, that's good. Now, while we're on the subject, how come Gillibrand is doing so badly in all of the polling?
Again, because our great candidate, Shel Chiavacci Farley, put her on the spot. And she said, oh, I'm going to serve my full term because she was so nervous in the debate. And Shel turned to the camera and said, I don't believe you, and locked in everyone's mind, hey, you know, and Gillibrand started backtracking on that right away, which brought out all the stuff about her. As Shel said, she was Annie Oakley when she was an upstate congresswoman before she now became Jane Fonda. And those kind of things have stuck in people's minds, and they find out that actually Gillibrand is a complete hypocrite. She's weak, and she's going down the tubes. She's not going anywhere.
I only got 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you about Governor Cuomo on our air the other day said that there were school superintendents who were making $300,000. He thought that was a great shame. What do you think?
You know, if we want to really solve we spend more funds on our school, $24,000 per pupil, more than any other state. I think we tie with New Jersey, and we have mediocre results. And yet they are defunding charter schools that work for less than that average per student, and they do a much better job, as do our parochial schools. Let's get with it. Let's pay attention to the students, not pay attention to the teachers who are weak, protecting them. Cuomo, remember, he was going to grade the teachers and do everything to evaluate them. Guess where that went? Disappeared, because he needs the support of the teachers union to stay in his job as governor and to be president of the United States.
Campaign finance reform, we got 1 minute. Should we have it so that the people who want to run for office will get public money to do it?
It depends how you do it, and I don't like the idea of spending public money on political objectives for personal political objectives of politicians.
It's always great to have my friend Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party, on the air with us. Ed, you are always welcome here. It's just great to hear your voice, and it's wonderful to have you with us.
Alan, it's always good to be with you.
We're out of time. Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, again, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.